One person on Twitter asked, anyone have a video of Hegseth's hissy fit? The Euros are all texting and laughing at what a clown he is and asking if he had some schnapps before this performance. We have other countries, we have other continents making fun of U.S. leaders for just melting down on stage. I want you to watch Cameron Caskey and I break this down. Check out Cameron's channel below. Watch.
Pete Hegseth is freaking out in front of everybody, and it's very embarrassing. I'm Cameron Caskey from The Bulwark. I'm joined today by my buddy Adam Mockler, fellow brunette commentator. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. It's a good one today. We got a good one for you all.
Hegseth is really just pumping us with that freakout content that some of us like to watch. Some of us get a little too uncomfortable because it's very embarrassing. He embarrassed himself today during an emotional freakout where he's just crashing out in front of everybody. This is a guy who's been out of control from the jump, the alcoholic who is leaking war plans in the Signal chat. But let's take a look at him taking out his anger and insecurity at the podium.
How many stories have been written about how hard it is to, I don't know, fly a plane for 36 hours? Has MSNBC done that story? As Fox, have we done the story how hard that is? Have we done it two or three times so that American people understand? How about how difficult it is to shoot a drone from an F-15 or 16 or F-22?
He's
or
like scolding the reporters.
Or what it's like to man a Patriot battery. Or how hard it is to refuel midair.
Giving I don't know why they would need to tell that. I feel like that's pretty self-explanatory.
This mission really was. There are so many aspects of what our brave men and women did that because of the hatred of this press corps are undermined. Because people are trying to leak and spin that it wasn't successful. It's irresponsible.
Okay, first of all, unhinged. But secondly, he's asking for state media. That's what he's asking for there. He's saying, why are you guys reporting on the actual intelligence coming from the Pentagon? Why aren't you writing multiple articles about how brave we are, about how hard it is to fly 36 hours? He's asking for state media. Could you imagine if I made three videos last night and video number one was like, our brave men and women fought for us. Video number two is like, could you drive, fly 36 hours? I bet you couldn't do that. But no, we're going to cover
midair. Yeah. If a woman acted even a trillionth that emotional and freaky during a press conference, everybody would be talking about how she's a DEI hire and women are not qualified to do this. And they would be saying that Pete Hegseth was on his period. But it's so funny watching him talk about leaked information when it's like, you're the guy who leaks it.
He said multiple times throughout these press conferences, he's glad everybody got back safely and he would never want war plans to be shown before. He's the one that did that. He added his wife. He added Jeffrey Goldberg. Wasn't his brother-in-law in the group chat too? Just a whole slew of people.
Yeah, are you familiar with the Streisand effect?
Yeah, we talked about this a few times ago.
We've already Streisand affected?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, just a reminder for everybody, Barbara Streisand, there were some pictures that the press got of a house she had under construction, and she went on a war path to make sure these pictures didn't make it out. And it was her war path that drove all of the attention to those pictures. So whenever somebody in the politics world freaks out about the press covering something that maybe not everybody even heard about, we talk about the Streisand effect. But that was not the only part of the meltdown. It was pretty continuous and kind of the entire press conference. Let's watch another clip from this.
Because you, and I mean specifically you, the press.
Me?
Specifically you, the press corps.
We're the
because
press.
Because you cheer against Trump so hard. It's like in your DNA and in your blood to cheer against
Trump.
Very
expressive.
Because you want him not to be successful so bad. You have to cheer against the efficacy of these strikes. You have to hope maybe they weren't effective. Maybe the way the Trump administration has represented them isn't true. So let's take half truth.
That's just what press conferences from the administration are now. They're just people from MAGA yelling at the press. That's all this is anymore.
Just like airing out his personal grievances. Over whether or not he's like, on this note, my wife hasn't been even talking to me as much. Incredibly unhinged. At the beginning of that clip, he was like staring at the press and like tapping on his desk. It reminded me of like having a substitute teacher that the class really pissed off. Like if you watch the beginning of that, he's like tapping on his desk and he's like, on that note, I half expect him to start talking about how like he hasn't seen his kids because his wife is taking them away. Like you're crashing out a little bit there, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, it's a slippery slope once you start to get that emotional, but he's doing that classic MAGA tactic of serious questions being asked and it just turning into a freak out about people trying to make him look bad. And it's always about looks in the MAGA world. Like they're obsessed with how people view them. And people act like this is just Trump. Like, you know, he's obviously the prime example of vanity and insecurity, but all of MAGA is obsessed with appearances. When you're in a cult of personality that is built around one specific person, that person's personality traits are going to trickle and affect everybody. So Hegseth is being just as vain and image obsessed as Trump because he's part of a cult of personality built around Trump and trying to emulate Trump as much as possible. And his vanity is contagious to these people.
And to build on top of that, to prove that they only care about optics, you know this because Trump froze Pete Hegseth out of any of the actual planning of this strike. Like, Pete Hegseth was not a part of this, despite being the head of the Pentagon and the defense secretary. So he knows that Pete Hegseth is not someone that brings a lot of experience to the table, but he thinks that Pete Hegseth is good at being performative on camera. So during the actual planning of this, Pete Hegseth was frozen out. But when it comes time to like build a narrative after on TV and do the narrative building part, there Pete Hegseth is on TV crashing out. Again, like you said, absorbing the worst qualities of Trump. We can look at Marco Rubio. We can look at Ted Cruz. They all absorb the worst bully qualities of Donald Trump. And Pete Hegseth is the same with the performativeness.
And Hegseth has the flagrant part down in a way that little Marco doesn't. Little Marco always looks so subdued and broken, whereas Hegseth is able to get the rage pumping. As a matter of fact, he continued his fit to a point where he ended up calling a female journalist, quote, the worst. Let's watch this one. This one might be the most offensive
scene that suggests that what we didn't hit exactly what we wanted to hit in those locations.
That's not the question, though.
It's about highly enriched uranium. Do you have certainty that all the highly enriched uranium was inside the Four Dome Mountain or some of it? Because there were satellite photos that showed more than a dozen trucks there 2 days in advance. Are you certain none of that highly enriched uranium was moved?
Of course, we're watching every single aspect, but Jennifer, you've been about the worst. The one who misrepresents the most intentionally. What the president says. I'm familiar.
About the ventilation shafts on Saturday night, and in fact, I was the first to describe the B-2 bombers, the refueling, the entire mission with great accuracy. So I take issue with that.
I appreciate you acknowledging that this was the first the most successful mission based on operational security that this department has done since you've been here, and I appreciate that.
I'm doubling down.
We're looking at all aspects of intelligence.
I'm doubling down. That's a personal crash out. When he's like 1 second away from saying, you're the worst. You look like my ex-girlfriend.
He definitely buckled under pressure there, and when he obviously did not know that Jennifer Griffin had covered the things that he was complaining had not been covered. So as soon as she confronted him with that, he buckled again. But he doesn't do well under pressure. As a matter of fact, when asked if he's felt any pressure to change his way of doing things, he offered a pretty easy answer, which is wave an American flag. Let's take a look at that.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, sir. Anybody who's ever read a battalion S2 report after a fight knows that it's usually the initial report is usually wrong, sometimes grossly so. Has what happened in this incident caused you all to sort of rethink the intelligence process or the dissemination or anything?
It's
just a matter, I mean, if the process itself doesn't require any rethink more adjustment.
Think.
Well, I can tell you what the chairman told me in the Situation Room and reminded us all, which is alongside what you just said, sir, is that the first reports are almost always wrong. They're almost always incomplete, right? You anything, whether it's a squad level operation or a strategic level operation, the initial reflections you get are coming at you at a high rate of speed from a lot of different sources. So your job is to step back and assess them. And that's why we're urging caution about premising entire stories on biased leaks to biased
don't
publications
do
trying
journalism.
To make something look bad.
Don't report on
recognize
things.
Recognize first the success of our warriors, hold them
look
up,
at this.
Tell
the,
their stories.
This is the first
that,
thing they teach you
American
in drama
flag,
class is that this is how you need to be expressing yourself.
Meantime,
I get
I
it.
You,
I do it too. My mom calls me
staff,
Muppet Hands.
The intelligence community, our staff, and others are doing all the assessments necessary to make sure that mission was indeed successful.
All of this could have been avoided if Jennifer Griffin just wrote about how brave our pilots are. If she just wrote how hard it is to refuel midair, then maybe he would have been more calm.
That's the entire premise of not only this press conference, but the messaging overall from Hegseth and just across the board in MAGA is just like, no matter how they phrase it, the message is always, you should be reporting on how great everything is going. But this guy asked him if he was going to change. And it's like, of course, I mean, I know that it was pretty much a rhetorical question. Of course, he's not going to change. You know, I rarely believe guys like Hegseth. But when he says stuff like he hasn't felt pressure from the president, I do believe him, because like if Trump isn't going to fucking fire him for multiple leaked war plans, I don't know at what point this guy could possibly be held accountable for anything.
Yeah, I don't think Trump is going for accountability. I think that he wants Hegseth to go out there to control the narrative at a time when Trump is losing it. He thought this was going to be like a one day in and out thing, like when they assassinated Soleimani in 2020. But now, as these reports come out, another point that I want to make really quickly, Pete Hegseth is banking on the idea. He's trying to trick MAGA into not knowing the difference between a Pentagon report and CNN reporting on a Pentagon report. So Trump and Pete Hegseth keep on attacking CNN and MSNBC when CNN and MSNBC are literally just citing an assessment from the Pentagon. So he's trying to like blur the lines between this distinction of like, who is this report coming from? Who crafted this report? It wasn't CNN. It wasn't effing Anderson Cooper. It was Pentagon officials who crafted this report.
This is going to be happening at a much higher rate when more and more reports come out that they were really only able to get in the way of Iran's nuclear development for a couple months, because you're starting to see more and more reporting that maybe we were able to slow it down. But in terms of their ability to enrich uranium the way that we are claiming we so valiantly defeated, there was not anything substantial done here to actually stop Iran's nuclear capacity other than give Trump a short, expedient victory to claim.
I think Netanyahu will keep a cool head, and cooler heads will prevail, and he won't escalate in the Middle East in 6 months. I can't even say that sarcastically. Sorry,
I mean,
keep going.
I'll say it sarcastically if you want. It's Netanyahu doesn't want to let go of the ability to be at war with Iran. I've mentioned this Bill Clinton quote everywhere from MSNBC to probably at least two times on this channel by now. But Netanyahu wants war with Iran because that way he can be in office forever and ever, etc. And Netanyahu is on his way to be tried in court for corruption and various other things. Like, the people of Israel are standing up to him right now and are getting in the way of his corruption right now. And Netanyahu derives his power from these continued wars. His way of clinging on to power and not just completely losing this political regime he's been able to build is the fact that he considers himself a wartime leader, and a lot of people consider him the same. Trump had a tweet yesterday, or a Truth Social, whatever the fuck, where he went on a long ramble about how Netanyahu is basically dying for our sins and people need to just let him away with it. So my closing point can actually be a Trump quote, which is that Israel and Iran are two countries that have been at war with each other, or have been at war so long that they don't know what the fuck they're doing. And no matter what Hegseth wants to say to stop the press from being the press, we're going to be getting more and more reports very soon that there actually wasn't a real long-lasting victory here. It was just kind of a short-term way for Trump to tout it.
Yep, and we did have a long-lasting victory in the form of the JCPOA, which was the Joint Comprehensive Plan signed under Obama that had more of a long-term, you know, plan with oversight, with mechanisms for them not to keep expanding. And yeah, my sarcastic point in it, I was trying to say Netanyahu will very likely escalate over the next few months. There are clips of him going back to what was like 1995, saying that they're only a few months away. So we cannot trust Netanyahu to keep a steady hand. He is going to escalate. And when he does, I'm sure Trump will get pulled right back into it. This will not be like Soleimani, where it's one and done, in and out. I think Trump is now escalating with Iran in a terrifying way.
Art of the Deal 101. Always claim victory, never admit defeat. Everybody, thank you so much for watching. Come subscribe to the FYPod channel. Go subscribe to Adam Mockler's channel for more videos where he beats us to the story by like hours, because he's just on it 5 seconds after everything drops, and more soon. Leave a comment down below about some shit. I don't know.
Love you guys.